Well, here it is, the fourth Sunday of Advent, Christmas Eve. Eve is tomorrow, or if you will, Christmas Eve squared. Well, I was thinking about it the other day, and I pray that there's no one here who has been too overstressed by the short fourth week, because I know that that sometimes happens. There are just a lot of things to do in a short time, especially if you wait till the last minute. In fact, I have a CD at home that contains parodies of holiday songs. And I think my favorite one is not just a parody of a song, but a parody of the way we sometimes are this close to Christmas. And the title of it is The 12 Pains of Christmas. And let me share the 12 pains with you. See if you recognize yourself in any of these. From the top, the 12th thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me, singing Christmas carols. Now, I don't know why that would be stressful, but it goes from there. Singing Christmas carols, stale TV specials, batteries not included, no parking spaces. I want an ant farm for Christmas, or Transformers, or whatever the toy is. Donations. Facing my in-laws, 5 months of bills, sending Christmas cards, hangovers, rigging up the lights, and finding a Christmas tree. And I would add to that list some of that horrible holiday music that the retailers play in their stores sometimes. I mean, how many ways can you do jingle bells? But you see what I mean? There are just a lot of things that occupy our time and energy at this time of year that are nice, but let's face it, they're distantly related to the holy day that we will celebrate. And they can be huge distractions, really. And so I think that the church, last weekend and this weekend, is trying to focus us again on that holy day. The church is kind of like my first grade teacher, Sister Mary Jeanette. Sister Mary Jeanette, at the beginning of each class day, would stand up at the front of the class, or when we came back from lunchtime and recess, and she would clap her hands. Boys, girls, Mr. Hauser, focus, it's time to begin. So I think the church is trying to focus us on what we will celebrate in a couple of days. Last week, we heard these themes of joy and the presence of God living among his people. Joy and presence. And today, we hear the themes of promise and fulfillment. Promise and fulfillment. We hear from the prophet Micah. If you read the book of the prophet Micah, it's not a very long book in the Bible, but you get a real strong sense of doom. Because Micah and his contemporary Isaiah, they can see the growing threat from the Assyrian Empire to the north, and it's as if the Lord is going to use the Assyrians to punish his people for their transgressions, for their sins. And yet, there are words of hope, words of promise, words of consolation in what Micah writes. And they would often address cities and towns as if they were people. So Micah does the same. You, Bethlehem, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. He shall be peace. And so whatever the intent of Micah's writing was, you know, in connection of the events of his time, it was much later the Christians saw these words and connected those words to a different kind of ruler, a different kind of shepherd. It was one who would be part of the Davidic line, of course, but we would know him differently. And it's this prophecy that we just heard tonight is why, you know, when the three wise men, the Magi, come to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews, they tell Herod, the Jewish leaders tell Herod that the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, because this prophecy was there. So then looking at the gospel, we see promise and fulfillment. Mary and Elizabeth are witnesses to the fulfillment of that ancient promise. And it's the promise is of a new shepherd, a new ruler is to make his presence among his people. The waiting is over. It's time. And the fulfillment of that promise we heard when we heard the account of the angel speaking to Mary, the incarnation, his conception, begins the fulfillment of that ancient promise. At the time of the birth of Christ, earth was ruled by false kings, Caesar Augustus, Herod the Great. But now the true king has arrived. This is the writer C.S. Lewis wrote that Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed, or you might say landed in disguise. Who could have anticipated the true king arriving in quite the way he did? And yet, he is the fulfillment of that ancient promise. So it's not to Caesar or the false kings of the past or the false gods and kings of the present that we should look, but we should look to the true king, this humble king, poor, nonviolent king, born and laid in the feeding trough of animals, right, in a stable in Bethlehem, just as promised. So in a few hours, a couple of days, when we celebrate the fulfillment of that promise, let us celebrate in everything we do, not with anxiety, not with stress, but with a true sense of joy that God has come among his people. And you could say that at every Mass, we celebrate God's presence among his people. He is really and truly alive among us. Let us celebrate with true joy.